It's good to get to know other people, you know, and it's good to break the atmosphere and stuff. But this morning, I know from what I've been told, Pastor Noel and Pastor Rob have preached around the Ecclesia. Is that right? Yeah. And the Ecclesia are the called out ones of God. The Ecclesia are the people that are set aside by God to do something for God. And, you know, I'm going to speak this morning on being born again. And in order for to be part of the Ecclesia, you must be born again. Because you have to be set aside by God to do something for God, therefore being part of the Ecclesia. Born again, a new creation. And this morning, I really want you to open your hearts, open your ears, and the eyes of your heart, that they will be opened to the fact that we hear this term, born again, new creation. What does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to be a new creation? And I want you to grasp what I'm trying to get across to you this morning. Because if you get this, guys, if you get this, this is life-changing. It's life-changing. If you can grasp that you're born again, that you're a new creation, it's a game-changer. It's a whole game changer. And just to share a little bit about my own story, I won't go too much into it. A lot of you know who I am. But my name is Jason O'Sullivan. I'm from Clondalkin, where we have a church service out there, church plant in Clondalkin also, one on RD Street and one here. And this is my wife, Adele. And thanks, Adele. And we are part of that team in Clondalkin. I'm part of the core team there. And, you know, Clondalkin will be different to this congregation here. I was sharing this morning that a word came to me that it would be raw. Because in Clondalkin, people have never heard the gospel. I'd never heard the gospel. And friends of mine had never heard the gospel. And the communities haven't. But now they're getting to hear the gospel. Why? Because we're part of the Ecclesia. We're the called out ones, set apart by God to do something for God. Amen. And I grew up in Clondalkin. And from a very young age, I got involved in drugs and crime. And so much so, where Pastor Noel comes from, where heroin started in Dublin, I started using heroin in Dolphin's Barn. It wasn't in Clondalkin or Ballyfermot or them areas at the time. And from a young age, I got strung out on heroin, went on to crack, so on and so forth, and involved in crime and selling drugs and all the stuff that goes with it in and out of prison. But one day, I met Jesus. One day, I met Jesus, and it was all over. I tried everything in order for to, I say sometimes, and I tried everything in order for to get off drugs. But I think the real thing I was trying to do was find peace. Because when I found Jesus, I found peace, and therefore I never took any more drugs. I never lived the lifestyle that I lived. Everything started to change. And I remember Christmas Eve 2010, the bad snow, and I was on death's door. They were going to amputate me two legs. Ravage heroin addiction and crack cocaine addiction. I came to the end of myself. I came from a place of having many properties and homes here and abroad to having nothing and living on the streets for the last 3 years of my life up to 2010. But someone, part of the Ecclesia, come and shared the gospel with me. They came and told me that there was a plan for my life. I didn't understand what it is or what it was. But I remember I was lying on my mother's couch. And someone from church, an old friend of mine, who had got saved, he'd come to the house and he said, "Jay, do you want help?" I says, "I do." I was at my wit's end, spiritually, mentally and physically. I was finished. I'd never thought, someone asked me this yesterday, the day before, I'd never thought of taking my own life. I don't think I would have had the, you know what, to do it. But I think I was actually killing myself in regards to I was at death's door. But 2010 was a game changer for me. I went into Lifeline. I got to the doors of Lifeline Treatment Centre in Drogheda, 2010. And I remember crawling up to the doors. It was Christmas Eve 2010, if you can picture this. Snow was real deep. It was a bad snow at the time. I was about 9 stone in weight. I had a massive heroin crack, a methadone addiction. I had charges. I had a trial before me, before the High Court. And I get out of the van and I crawled up to the doors of that place. And here's what I said. There was no religious entering in or anything like that. Here's what I said. And this is how relational God is. I said, Lord, I didn't even say Lord because I didn't know him as my Lord. I said, God, I don't know who you are or where you are, but I know you're out there somewhere. Here's what's left of me. And there and then that minute, I was saved and set free and never took another drug again in my life. I had no detox, I had no nothing. Went on a journey after that. But I began to realize, and I got revelation that day, that I was part of the ecclesia. Even though I didn't know what that word meant, I didn't know anything about theology, I didn't know anything about that. But I knew that I'd been transferred from one place to another. I knew that I was home. I felt home that day. I felt as if I was transferred from the orphanage and put into the Father's house. Don't ask me how, but I knew that happened. And that just put such a confidence in me for to go on after Jesus, because I knew that I knew that I knew that something had happened in the heavenlies and that the old Jay was gone and the new Jay was here. Was that new Jay perfect? No. Because God might have took the old Jay out of Clondalkin, but now he had to get the Clondalkin out of Jay. You know, it's like taking me out of Egypt and getting Egypt out of me, you know. And that was a journey. But God has been so faithful and God has been so good and so gracious. And he is just absolutely amazing. But what I want you to take from this story today is that understand that you're a new creation. If you have given your heart to Jesus, you're in a new creation. The term born again, people say, you're one of them born against. I says, I am. But the term born again means that when you cry out to Jesus and ask him to be your Lord and Savior, by his Spirit he comes, and his Spirit and your Spirit, it's like you have a collision, and his Spirit makes your Spirit new. The old Jay might look the same at the time, right? But there's a renewing that goes on. But your Spirit is brand spanking new. So from the inside, you are brand new. You're a new creation. You're born again. You're born again. You get that, guys? Your Spirit is born again. Your Spirit is born again. And when your Spirit is born again, that's the place we have to live from as born again believers. We live from that place of a born again Spirit. Therefore, it pans out in our life. It expands in our life in every area if we live out of a place of us knowing we are new creations. Mal, if you can put that scripture, it's up there, great. So I titled this message today, The New Creation Being Born Again. Stick with me, and if you grasp this, this is going to be a life changer for you. This is a game changer, guys. This is a game changer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, and the new is here. Do you get that? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if you've given your heart to Jesus, you're in Christ, and he's in you. The new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. The NLT version says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. A new life has begun. What is a new creation? Here's a definition of a new creation. Something that has been brought into existence or created by imagination. Something that has been brought into existence or created by imagination. Do you know the story of the caterpillar? Mal, if you can put that picture up of that butterfly. And do you know how a caterpillar transforms into a new creation? Biology tells us that a caterpillar digests itself until there is only amino acids left in the cocoon. And these amino acids start to form and build new organs, therefore creating a new body for the butterfly. And you know how the wings are made so colourful and so beautiful? There's no guys. How the wings are made so colourful on the butterfly is that the very feces or crap from the caterpillar is crystallised and it forms beautiful colours on the butterfly's wings. Imagine that. The very feces or crap from the caterpillar is crystallised and it forms the very beautiful colours that are on the butterfly's wings. That got me thinking that God could take the crap or sin of my life and make it into something so beautiful and so colourful that his glory and very character could be radiated and put on display to the world. Just like that butterfly. I'm going to say that again. The very feces or crap from the caterpillar is crystallized and it forms the beautiful colours on the wings of the butterfly. That got me thinking that God could take the crap or sin of my life and make it into something so beautiful and colourful that his glory and very character could be radiated and put on display to the world just like that beautiful butterfly. Isn't that amazing? That God can take a person. As the scriptures say, he takes you from the mud and the mire. And that's where we've been taken from. And he creates you into something beautiful that his very essence, his very character, his very image can be reflected to this world. It's absolutely amazing what God can do with a life that is yielded to him. Sorry, I have a word for this chap here. What's your name, son? Sorry, what's your name? Yeah? Sean? No, this guy here, yeah. James, how are you, James? My name's Jason. I have a picture. I see a picture of an umbrella over your head. And the umbrella has all the colours of the rainbow on it. And I feel that God is saying to you that he has you covered. I feel that God is saying to you that his covenant he made with you, he will never leave you nor forsake you. It can't be broken. The covenant he has made with you can't be broken. And that he has you covered. And the colours of the rainbow are symbolic in Genesis chapter 2 of God's covenant with his people. And I feel God saying to you this morning that he sees you, that his ear is turned towards your prayer, that his eye is on you, and that his covering is upon you. And I just release that to you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 That his glory and very character could be radiated and put on display to the world, just like this beautiful butterfly. I believe that's why Jesus left heaven and came to earth, died and rose again to bring humanity back to his Father, so that his glory and majesty could be revealed and radiated through his new creation. That it could be revealed through his new creation. And that is how God chooses to roll out heaven on earth. You know, God is sovereign. God can do what he wants. But God chooses to roll heaven out on earth through his ecclesia, the called out ones, you and I, each and every one of us that have given our lives to Christ. We have the power of God within us. We have the kingdom of God within us. And that's who he chooses. Look through the Bible. That's who he chooses. And he's doing it today. And Adele shared earlier on that Jesus says, I'm going away and I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He's the Empowerer. And he says that you're going to do greater things than I. Imagine that. Jesus said that you and I are going to do greater things than him. I can't wrap my head around that, but I believe it. You know, I believe it. That is why Jesus said, Father, let thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus was all about bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth by the power of the Holy Spirit. And our lives are like a conduit or a drain pipe that can be used by God or to send heaven to earth. That's what we are, the ecclesia, the call out ones. Set apart by God to do something for God. Amen? He's with me. Right. The Apostle Paul used the word in Christ a lot. Because that he knew outside of Christ, he was just a mere man. We're just mere people. We're good people. We're just mere people outside of Christ. He had different thoughts, different morals, different ways of living. Actually, Paul was an enemy of Christ. But he knew he was a new creation now. Like new as if the freshly created by the hands of God again. Hence the term born again. He knew he had acquired a new set of standards and morals. Even the way he taught and judged was different. As a Christian, he no longer judged the things by the standard of this world. He now looked at them from a heavenly perspective. There was a time when Paul judged Christ and Christians from a world's perspective and set out to tear down the name of Jesus and eliminate the Christian faith from this world, but not now. His intents are different. Now the man whose name he sought to destroy is to him the most wonderful, precious person in the world. See, Paul had a born-again experience. Paul knew that he was a new creation. If you read the scriptures and you see Paul was there when you seen Steve. Paul actually held jackets, I think, when he seen Stephen getting stoned to death. Paul went out and he killed Christians. He murdered Christians because he's religious. He was going by a set of rules. But now he'd encountered the Holy Spirit. He'd encountered the Spirit of God. He knew who Jesus was. He was knocked off his horse when he was going to Damascus. Paul knew he was a new creation. Now the man whose name he sought to destroy is to him the most wonderful, precious person in the world, because he had given to him the very access and friendship of God in which he had longed for all his life. Paul longed for a relationship with God all his life, but he went about it through a set of rules and regulations. Do this, 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 this. Sacrifice this, 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 and this. But when he met Jesus, it was a different story. He realized that God was intimate. God was relational. That you could have a one-on-one chat with God. Did you know that, guys? You can have a one-on-one chat with God, just like I talk to my wife or talk to anybody here. You can talk to God like that. He's relational. He's relational. He sent his son to earth to die, to rise again, that anybody who believed in him could come back to the Father and have that relationship with Almighty God. You see, there was a gap, there was a chasm between us and God, and there was only one thing that could bring us back. The Bible says that there's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus. And because of the cross, we're able to have that amazing relationship with Almighty God. Amazing so much so that you look at the stars in the skies tonight when it's getting dark, and the very man that made them stars, you can have a personal relationship with him. That's part of the ecclesia, the called out ones. That's part of your inheritance. Imagine Almighty God. You can have a relationship with Almighty God. People think that's crazy. Some of my mates think I'm gone bonkers. They think it's crazy, but they can't take away the fact that I know God. They can say what they want, but I know him. I know him. That can't be robbed on you. That can never be robbed. When we become a new creation in Christ, we don't have to live this life out in our own strength. We've been given the Holy Spirit. And it is he who empowers us to live this Christian life. He actually gives us a new heart as well as a new spirit. Hence the term new creation, born again. Listen to what the prophet Ezekiel says. I give you a new heart, put a new spirit in you. I'll remove the stone heart from your body and replace it with a heart that's God-willed, not self-willed. I'll put my spirit in you and make it possible for you to do what I tell you to do and live by my commands. God can give you a new spirit and a new heart. I know he gave me one. And he's softening it all the time. It's a work in progress. I'm not saying I've arrived, because I'm not. The only time I'll be perfect is when I step into glory, when I'm in heaven. I'm still flawed. I'm still broken in areas. But I'm on a journey where I can tell you I'm not the same person as I was in 2010. That's who I am now. Why? Because I know I'm a new creation. I know I'm a new creation. John 3:3 says, Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again to see the kingdom of heaven. You see, some of my mates are not born again. Some of them are. I've led some of them to the Lord. But some of them are not. And it's only when you're born again, when your spirit is touched by God's spirit and renewed and made new, is when the eyes of your heart, Paul talks about it in Ephesians, the eyes of your heart are opened. Not these eyes. The eyes of your heart are opened. You can see the kingdom of God for what it is. You can experience the kingdom of God for what it is. You see, the Lord doesn't leave us on our own. He promises never to leave us nor forsake us. And our happiness is not based on our surroundings or what we have when we're a new creation. Our happiness should come from within. You see, as a new creation, a born-again believer, the Bible says the kingdom of God is within. The kingdom of God is within. Therefore, our happiness is not based on our surroundings, etc. We must live from the inside out. We must live from the inside out. So as a person that has given their heart to Jesus and became a new creation, how do we live this life out in victory? How do we live this life out in victory? A life of victory. We've given our heart to Jesus. I've heard it so many times. Well, I've given my heart to Jesus and I'm still doing this, 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 and this. Or this is still happening, or that's still happening. There's many steps, or there's many ways to your healing, to your deliverance, to your freedom. And one of them is, we must live a forgiven lifestyle. And I think the first step is forgiving ourselves. A lot of us can forgive others, and we might know people who have forgiven others. But can you forgive yourself? Because the Bible says, he who is forgiven of much, loves much. And until you know that you're forgiven, there's always going to be something there that niggles, and there's always something going to be something there that stops you from getting your freedom. You know, when I was growing up, when someone done something, now, I've done loads of things wrong on people. Listen, you're standing in front of someone here that was bottom of the barrel when it comes to sin. And I've done horrible things in my life. But when I grew up, when someone used to do something wrong on me, I used to say, he's not getting away with that. We're not letting him away with that. See him, see her, they're not getting away with that. Or to be plotting and scheming in my head what I'm going to do. And the head of their own number and go west. I'd have people buried in everything in my head. But you see, the thing about forgiveness is, when we choose to forgive someone, we're not letting them off the hook. We're letting ourselves off the hook. You see? We're letting ourselves off the hook. If Adele does something wrong on me, which she never does, but if I choose not to forgive Adele, it's like me drinking poison, expecting Adele to die. It's me who's dying. Forgiveness. And here it goes. Listen to this. Forgiveness is not a feeling. None of us feel like forgiving. The flesh doesn't want to forgive. The old nature doesn't want to forgive. And by the way, when you become a new creation, the old nature wants to pop its head up every now and then. Do you agree? Yeah? But by the power of the Holy Spirit and by making a conscious decision, I choose to forgive. I believe there's a grace that's applied to that decision and allows you to carry it through, because the flesh doesn't want to forgive. The flesh wants flesh. It wants revenge. But when you choose to forgive, you're not letting the other person off the hook. You're letting yourself off. Amen? Amen. We must live a forgiving lifestyle. And as I said, I had many sins, and I carried them through my life. But when I got born again, I used to say to God, I said, Lord, how can you forgive me for this, and how can you forgive me for that? It's impossible for you to forgive this, that, and the other. I remember I was in a class, and just so happens, Michael here was there at the time, and I was in a class, and it was on forgiveness. And I was doing a 13 or 14 week course on forgiveness, and it brought you right back to your childhood and brought you all the way up. And I'm telling you, there were so many people I wanted to kill. And I'm sure there were so many people that wanted to kill me for what I'd done. But I was like a raging lunatic. When all this stuff was coming up for me, I was like a lunatic. But I knew I had to forgive. But it was laying it down, and it was choosing to forgive. But you know what the hardest part was? Was forgiving myself. Forgiving myself. And I remember I was in that class one day, and I looked, and the Lord showed me a vision of a cross on a hill. And all over that hill, my sin was written all over that hill. And I turned away and I looked back, and I seen the blood of Jesus running down that hill. And I looked back once more, and it was gone. And that day, I knew that I was forgiven. I knew what Jesus has done on the cross was for me, personally, and for you, for each and every one of us. Forgiving is a lifestyle. Another part of living this new creation life is not living in the past. Don't let your past dictate your future. Don't let your past dictate your future. I remember not too long ago, I was preaching in the city, and a guy that knew me afterwards come up to me, and he says to me, he said, you're up there preaching about Jesus. I says, that's right. He says, but you've done this, 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 and this, and you've done this, 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 and this. He was calling out everything I used to do. I says, you know what? You don't even know me. He says, I do. I know you 25 years. I says, you don't. I says, because see all them things you said I done. I was worse than that. I says, but that's not who I am now. I'm a new creation. I'm born again. Why? Because of what Jesus done on the cross for me. Amen? And that's just the same for each and every one of you. Do not let your past dictate your future. You need to live from a place of, I'm a new creation. I don't do things to be good. I live out of a place of, I am good. And if I know that I'm good, I'll live out of that place and I'll do good. You understand where I'm coming from? If you know that you're a good person, you live out of that place of doing good. Another one is not to carry guilt or shame. It's not yours to carry as a new creation. How do I know that? Matthew 11:28 tells us this. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. As a new creation, guilt and shame shouldn't be part of your psyche. It shouldn't be part of your life. I'm not saying that we don't feel it sometimes, but we've been given a way out. Jesus tells us, come to me, he says, come to me, so you don't have to carry it. I carried it for 38 years. It weighed me down. It was like 20-ton lead weights on my shoulder. But see, when I came to Jesus and I understood this, and when you read his word and you understand his word, you say, this is why Jesus died on the cross for me. I'm a new creation. I don't have to carry that anymore. I don't have to carry guilt and shame anymore. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. You're forgiven. You don't have to carry it. It's absolutely amazing. It's mind-blowing stuff if you get this. Another one is, I shouldn't have done this or I shouldn't have done that. Don't live with regrets. Don't live with regrets. Look forward. Remember, you're not a caterpillar anymore. You don't have to crawl around the dirt anymore. You're a beautiful butterfly now, created to soar and experience new things. You are created to make a difference. And the only way to make a difference is being different. The only way to make a difference is being different. God has called you out, the ecclesia, set apart to do things for God, to be different. Each and every one of you are different. If you want to make a difference in your family, be different. If you want to make a difference in your area, be different. If you want to make a difference in your marriage, your relationships, or whatever it is, be different. Because you're called to be different. You are created to stand out, not just stand up. You are created to stand out, not just stand up. Just like that beautiful butterfly. When you see a butterfly in a tree, you look at it, it grabs your attention, doesn't it? Why? Because it was created to stand out. How much more should you and I stand out for God? How much more? So you might ask, how do we live this life out? How do we live this life out? I'll tell you. By God's word and by the power of His Holy Spirit. By God's word and the power of His Holy Spirit. God says, forgive. You choose to forgive. Holy Spirit comes. Grace is applied to it. Boom. You're given the grace to forgive. You're given the grace to forgive. Is there a worship team here, no? Could we have some music on in the background in the second mile? The song plays. I'll let you know. You see, in the beginning, when the Lord God lifted dust from the earth and created Adam, He then took Adam, touching him, He breathed into his nostrils and created a new man, a new creation. And ever since then, man and woman has been longing for the touch and the breath of God in their life again. Born again. Touch of God again. That's what the world is searching for. That's what the world is searching for. There's an emptiness in each and every person created by God. And you've heard it a million times, but only He can fill it. Only He can fill it. Money, possessions, homes, relationships, drugs, sex, whatever you want, pornography, doesn't fill it. That emptiness that's within, only God can fill it. And see, when God is there, that's when you can step out and be this new creation. Because that need is being met. It gives you a confidence. Maybe that's why Jesus preached the laying on of hands, for His new creation to be a channel for the very touch of God to a broken and dying world. You see, money can buy you a crucifix, but it can't buy you a savior. Money can buy you a crucifix. It can't buy you a savior. And in the wisdom of God, you don't have to pay. Jesus has already paid in full. Jesus has already paid in full. So after speaking about the new creation, being born again, living this lifestyle of being born again, I can't leave here today without giving the opportunity for someone or somebody's. If you haven't given your heart to Jesus, if you would like to become a new creation, get a fresh start. God says in His Bible that His mercies are new every day. His mercies are new every day. If you want a fresh start in life, one like what I had and many people here, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that. I'm going to give you the opportunity to become a new creation. I'm going to give you the opportunity to come into relationship with Almighty God. That's the greatest one of all. Saved from hell, going to heaven, come into relationship with Almighty God.